بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, towards the end of the 15th juz and the beginning of the 16th juz, which we heard tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the incident of Nabi Musa and Khadir alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. Khadir, according to difference of opinion, some mufassirin were of the opinion that he was a Nabi of Allah, and others felt that he was a very pious person, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the background of this incident, that on one occasion Musa alayhi salatu wa salam qama khatiban fi Bani Israel. He was lecturing and advising the Bani Israel, and somebody asked him a question, that, O Musa, who is the most knowledgeable person alive at this moment in time? Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, knowing that he was the Nabi of Allah, he felt that Allah had blessed him with knowledge, and there was nobody in the world at that time more knowledgeable than him. So he did not want to put on a show of humility. He felt that he should answer the question directly. So he says to this person that I am the most knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make the tarbiyat of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that you should have referred this back to me. You should have said Allah knows best, or you should have waited for revelation to come to you and then given an answer to this person. So Allah says to him that there is a slave of mine, and you will find him at a certain place where the two seas meet, and he has been given more knowledge than you. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam seeks permission to go and find this person, to go and learn from him. And he takes his attendant, Yusha bin Nun, and they begin to travel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that when you reach a certain place, then the fish that you have with you as meals or as provision, this fish will jump out of the container and jump into the ocean, and this will be a sign for you that this is the place where you will find this person. So they reach a certain place, they take rest, Musa alayhi salam is resting, and this incident happens, this fish jumps out of the container, فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا, and it then goes into the water, it makes a tunnel and it disappears. Yusha bin Nun, when Musa alayhi salam wakes up, he forgets to inform him, and they set off, they continue, they become tired. Musa alayhi salam then says that why don't we have some meals, have something to eat? And this is when he remembers, and then they retrace their footsteps and they go back to that point, and there they meet Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the incident is very lengthy. Musa alayhi salam asks him that, can I accompany you so that you may teach me from the knowledge that Allah has given you? Khadir says to him, listen, you have been given such knowledge from Allah that I don't have, and I have been given knowledge that you don't have, and you will never be able to have patience if you accompany me. And this was not meant in a negative way. Rather, what he meant is that as a Nabi of Allah, you know what is right and what is wrong, and I will do many things that are apparently and outwardly questionable, and therefore you will want to reprimand me and correct me, so you will not be able to have sabr. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. How can you exercise patience over something that you don't know about, you have no knowledge about? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam promises him that inshallah, if Allah wishes, you will find me to have patience, and I will not disobey you, I will not question you. So thereafter, he accompanies Khadir, and three incidents take place. We have heard them before. Very quickly, we'll go through them. The first is that en route, they come to a body of water, either a river or an ocean, and there is a group of people who have a vessel, a boat, and they then take Musa and Khadir on this boat and allow them to cross this river or the sea. When they reach close to the other side, Khadir now begins to make small holes and dents in this particular vessel. Musa alayhi salam sees this, immediately he feels this is oppression, this is not correct. He tells him, أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا, that you are now destroying or damaging this vessel, and don't you think that the people will then drown, you causing harm, damage to their property? So Khadir tells him, did I not say to you, you won't be able to have patience, you'll never be able to have sabr? Musa says, لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتْ, that, oh Khadir, don't take me to task, don't punish me because I have forgotten. وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِ عُسْرَى, don't make things difficult for me, this is a mistake, I won't do it again. They then set off, they continue, they come across a group of young children who are playing. Khadir goes up to one of them, he grabs hold of this child and he kills him. According to the narration, he grabs hold of his head and he twists his neck, and like this, this child then passes away. Again, Musa alayhi salam becomes upset. لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. You have done something very grave, very serious. Again, Khadir alayhi salam reminds him that did I not tell you that it will be very difficult for you to have sabr? So Musa alayhi salam then says to him, okay, if I ask you anything after this, then you have an excuse, then you can ask me to leave, but please give me one last chance. They then continue, and they come to, it is now close to nightfall, they reach a village, and they ask the people of that village to host them. These people blankly refuse, and they are very harsh to them, they give them a cold shoulder. As they are leaving, looking for accommodation for the night, the Khadir now comes across a property, and there was a boundary wall, and this wall was about to collapse. So he goes and with his own hands, he now fixes and repairs this wall so that it does not fall down. Musa alayhi salam again questions him that these people were so harsh to us. They give us a cold shoulder. If you wanted, you could have asked them to pay you, or perhaps in lieu of you fixing this wall, then we could have got accommodation for the night, something to eat. Now Khadir says to him that 3 times you have questioned me. هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is where we have to separate. And now let me inform you of the wisdom behind these actions. So he tells him, as far as that vessel, that boat was concerned, there was a tyrant king who would rule over those seas and those waters. And any person that would pass by with a good vessel, then he would take it away from them. He would usurp it from them and they would lose their vessel. So I wanted to make some defect in this vessel, so that king's eyes don't fall on it, and he does not take it away from these people. Like this, outwardly it seems like a loss, but they would have saved their boat, and they can then continue earning their livelihood. So this was the first incident. Secondly, he says that young boy who we came across, and you saw me taking his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed me that his parents were believers, they were righteous people, and Allah in his wisdom and his knowledge knew that when this child grows up, he will become a tyrant, he will become disobedient, he will become a disbeliever, and more than that, he will then force his parents into disbelief and kufr. So to protect the parents and to protect this young boy, we decided, or Allah decided, that I should take his life. In this way, he passes away in an innocent condition, and his parents' iman is also saved. And the third incident, he then says, as far as that wall that I had repaired, so there was a treasure that was buried underneath this wall belonging to 2 orphan children, and the guardians of these children would have taken this treasure and used it for themselves. Therefore, Allah wanted it to be concealed and that it should only become exposed after some time when these children had now grown up and they could then take that and use it for themselves. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And the reason Allah chose us to do this task, the ascendants, and according to Mufassirin, they speak about 7 generations up, their great-great-great-grandfather was a righteous person. Because of this, Allah has sent me and tasked me to look after their wealth in this world. So from this, Mufassirin then derive many lessons, but the main point that is being pointed out here is that in every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is hidden kindness, there is wisdom, there is hikmah. Sometimes a person meets into an accident, and it is very difficult for a person to bear. Now there's loss, his entire day is spoiled, he's inconvenienced, he's got to now make other arrangements for transport, he's got to find money to fix his car. But perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving him from something worse than this, from something, perhaps if he had continued, he may have met into an even worse accident, he may have lost his life, or some injury would have come to him. So in every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is hidden kindness, there is wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if any unpleasant condition comes upon you, then don't ever say that had I done this, then it would have been different. This, we are prone to saying this, that had I only taken that road, or had I left at this time, or had I made this decision, then I would not have been in this situation. Nabi alayhi salam says, فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. That this word, if only I did this, this opens the door for shaitan to now come and play havoc in a person's mind. Now a person begins to doubt, question taqdeer, as though he could have changed the situation. Rather, what should a person say? Nabi alayhi salam teaches us, if something unpleasant happens, then say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ. Allah has decreed this. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Whatever Allah wanted to happen, Allah has caused that to happen. Like this, a person submits what is known as rada bil qada. A person is happy, content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will live a very blissful life. Because whatever happens, he will understand that behind this is the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Allah speaks about a person by the name of Dhul Qarnain. And we had mentioned yesterday, the Yahud asked three questions to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Or rather, they had told the Quraysh to ask three questions. One was about the people of the cave, the other was about the soul, and the third was that ruler whose kingdom spanned the east to the west. So this is Dhul Qarnain. Dhul Qarnain means in Arabic, the person who has two horns. And why was he named this? Again, there's difference of opinion. Some mention that he would wear a hat that had two portions on either side that would stick out and resemble two horns on his head. Others have mentioned that he had two forelocks of hair. Others say that he outlived two generations of his family. So he was known as Dhul Qarnain. Many Mufassirin incorrectly mention that Dhul Qarnain refers to Alexander the Great, who was the ruler of Macedonia, northern Greece, and lived approximately 300 years before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. However, this is incorrect, and ulama have then mentioned that the reason for this is Alexander was a non-Muslim. He was not a believer. Dhul Qarnain in Quran, Allah speaks about his iman. He was a righteous person. Therefore, the more appropriate or more correct view is that this was a different person. And they mention he lived almost 1,500 years before Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was one of those two individuals who had iman, who Allah blessed with ruling the entire world. One was Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, as we know, and the second was Dhul Qarnain. And then Nabi alayhi salam said there were two other non-Muslims. One was Numrud, who was the tyrant ruler at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the other was Bukhti Nassar, who persecuted the Bani Israel. They also ruled over the entire world. Nevertheless, here Allah speaks about the travels of Dhul Qarnain, three journeys that he undertakes. One is to the west, the place of the setting of the sun. He goes and he finds a group of people there, and they had disobeyed Allah. Allah then gave him a choice that either you punish them or you forgive them. He chose to forgive them, and he warned them that if you continue disobeying, then I will have to persecute you, punish you. Then the second journey he makes to the east, Matli' al-Shams. He goes to the place of the rising of the sun. And here he comes across a group, لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِن دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. Allah said, we did not create any shield between them and the sun. Mufassirin mentioned that the terrain that they lived on was such that they were unable to construct or erect any shade or any structure. And therefore, in the daylight hours or the sunlight hours, they would not have any shield from the sun. And some ajib riwayat mentioned thereafter how they would keep themselves cool and how they would protect themselves from the heat of the sun. So he travels to the east and meets these people. And then is the main journey to the north, where he meets that group of people who barely understand what he is saying, different language, there is a language barrier, but they then complain about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And this is, of course, speaking now about the end of time when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will emerge. Dhul Qarnain then agrees, after discussing with these people, to build a wall that will now barricade the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, this tribe, behind the valley or in the valley, and they will not be able to come out and then cause corruption in the land. It's mentioned that they would kill people and steal their wealth, etc. Regarding the location of this particular wall, generally, if we summarize all the views, there are four different locations that have been mentioned. Alama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah has mentioned his preference to be towards the lands of Caucasia, what we would say around the countries of Armenia, Azerbaijan, towards the north, or rather towards the south of Russia. The other view that's mentioned is very close to that in the land of Dagestan, which is also on the boundary of Russia. So this is towards the north. However, Allama Alusi rahimahullah has mentioned, he says that all of these views that are mentioned, it is even possible that this wall may be behind some sea or past some vast space of land that we have never come across. And therefore, there is no point. It is futile us now trying to find where is this place. When Allah decides for them to emerge, then they will emerge. Very lengthy riwayat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He came out to Sahaba radiallahu anhum in a very worried state. And he said to them, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِن شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبٍ. that woe be to the Arabs of an evil that is very imminent, very close. And then he explained that a tiny hole has been opened in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. In other words, their emergence is very close and very near. Now this was said 1400 years ago. We can imagine. Sahaba then asked him, O Nabi of Allah, أَنَهْلِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ, that will we be destroyed when there are righteous people amongst us? Nabi alayhi salam said, yes, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثُ, when evil becomes widespread, then despite the presence of righteous people, but you will be destroyed. And various different details have been mentioned. But for us to go back now and read and understand, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mufassirin explain, we'll end on this, that together with mentioning this entire incident, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Sahaba that these events towards the end of time, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, Dajjal, etc., I do not fear these things for you. غَيْرُ الدَّجَّالِ أَخْوَفُنِي عَلَيْكُمْ, that is not what I fear for you. But I fear that you will become caught up in the dunya. This is what Nabi alayhi salam feared. So whether we live to see Dajjal, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, Qiyamah or not, whether it's our children, grandchildren, whether there's still thousands of years left, but Nabi alayhi salam is cautioning us, for us to be very careful that we do not become entrapped by the love of dunya. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.